again, that's going to do it for me. This has been the 600th episode of the 12 Kyle podcast. Who knows? You might get 600 more. Until then, I'm your boy 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5G.
Congratulations, 12 Kyle, on 600. 600 all purpose at that, you know what I mean? Another peer, another big brother, you know what I mean? In the podcast game, music, sports, life, you know, questions, you know, scenarios. If you want to go down the line of just pure conversation, you want to check in with 12 Cal. And the reason why I want y'all to check in now is because why not? 600th episode, you know. Also, check them up on YouTube. Leave some comments. Subscribe. Do all that, you know. Not too long ago, 12 Cal had sent a message in about a bet, you know. And I just wanted to see if we can get him on the line for a second or two. I know it's a Sunday, and the chances are it might be slim, but we're going to try because this is the – there we go.
Yo, what up?
12 Cal, you are
in – what's the business?
You in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a quick second, and look, to my audience, this was not prepared. You know, 12 Cal did not know I was going to call him.
No, I didn't.
And actually, Manny be supposed to be on right now, but I think he may have fallen asleep.
Probably.
I know we were supposed to, you know, but I'm still see because I sent him a message. He hasn't replied yet. But you know how Manny B is. Manny, he'll dip and dabble in the podcast game and then go straight Eminem. We don't know where he is.
All facts.
Yeah.
All facts.
But he's a Mets fan, you know. And
unfortunately,
yes. And that's a team that has an identity in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the New York team. The team that reigns heavy probably over any franchise in that area. Am I correct? Or am I missing something?
It is the premier franchise in Major League Baseball, sir.
Oh, so I don't know. Okay, look. If we're just going to go off of championships alone, then absolutely yes. They are who they are, right? But if you want to go to a better loving and a team that you could like, I mean, I think that's a team that has a lot more sunshine on this side of town than on that side of town. But that's for another that's up for debate. But I'm only want to keep you for a quick second because I just want to talk about the bet that you have proposed for my show.
Right.
And I accepted it on my show.
Uh-huh.
So my listeners and the people in the bleachers want to know, where are we going?
Oh, we're going to Roscoe's. We'll hit Roscoe's. I'm coming out there in December for my birthday. I'll be out there for a week. And, well, the original bet was $5,000. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at upping the bet to $10,000.
Yeah, I was about to send that back and say, well, just make it 10.
Yeah, you know, because 10 is
this is me and Cal sitting at the table, you know what I'm saying, eating Chinese food, playing, you know, paper basketball.
Right. So... But the stakes were even higher to put lunch on it. So it'll be Roscoe's. I believe we'll both have the number 9, the Obama special.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. But yeah, that was a bet, man. I mean, you know, it was a series. It wasn't the series that I had anticipated.
Was it a series?
I mean, it was a series because it was played, but it wasn't, you know. It definitely wasn't a series that I had envisioned for my team. But that being said, you know, when you put the ball in play, good things happen. And I think the Dodgers, to their credit, did a good job of putting the ball in play.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you chose those choice of words, because those are the words that's going to be talked about in regards to the Yankees for a long time, because it was said that my Dodgers said, as long as you put the ball in play, we have a chance to make it happen, because they have talent versus what would you call the textbook. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting, because prior to this, while we were still in the same series as the with the Mets, we was getting a lot of, well, if the Dodgers were to make it to the World Series and play the Yankees, I mean, we talking about the Yankees, quote unquote, had the best pitching.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kept hearing, is just pitching, pitching, pitching. And as a person that's a casual fan of baseball, I do know that you do need pitching when it comes to the postseason.
Right.
Out of everything. So my arrogant L.A., City of Angels, City of Champions, Tinseltown self said, went on Twitter and said, you know what? They got pitchers, but we got hitters, though.
Mm-hmm.
We got hitters, and we got Nightmare on Elm Street. We got Freaky Freddy over here. And... Mm-hmm. 12 Cal knows Freddy all too well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that, Cal?
I mean, you know, it was interesting, because I didn't watch much of the series that you guys had prior to the World Series, but I will say this. I do know that Freddie Freeman was struggling. He came in with ankle problems, and baseball is a It is a funny sport. It is a funny sport in the sense of it's one of the few sports where momentum actually counts.
Mm-hmm.
And it counts for something.
Oh, my God. Especially home field advantage momentum.
Oh, no question. And so what happens is, you know, being able to get that rest between the closeout game and the start of the World Series, I think, really helped the Dodgers.
It helped a lot.
You know, and I'm not going to make any excuses. However, I will say I think the layoff didn't help us at all, because I think we had a rhythm going into game one, and we lost some of that rhythm. That being said, hitting, timely hitting, really made a difference in that series. And looking back on it now that I've had some time to reflect on it, I don't necessarily know that we actually recovered from the Game 1 Grand Slam by Freddie Freeman.
That's what has been talked about is the...
I don't know that we did. You know, and if we did, the thing is, Game 3, you got to win Game 3 at home. You can't, you know, you could leave L.A. and say, you know what, they held court. They did what they were supposed to do. They won on their home field. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for us to... We know we got three in New York, but we got to represent.
Yeah.
And to not be able to go down 3-0, I think, is just... It is tough from a mindset. We saw this in basketball. We've seen this in basketball every year. Going down 3-0, yeah, you can say, you know, outside of the LeBron comeback, you go down 3-0, it's pretty much a wrap. You're asking yourself to win... four straight, and it's probably not likely.
It's probably not likely, but if it was to happen to any sport, I would say baseball.
Yeah, it could happen in baseball.
I would say baseball.
Basketball, probably not.
No.
But the flip side of it is, you know, I think, like I said, losing game three really hurt, but, you know, winning game four was key. But if you just look at how the series closed in game five, having a 5-run lead, and blowing it basically on a single and three consecutive errors. I mean, I'll leave it at this. There was a report, and the report came out after the World Series was over, but there was a report that the scouts from the Dodgers told the team that, hey, this is the team we want to play against, because while they have great hitters, they don't have the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that's what you were speaking of just a few minutes ago. They don't have the fundamentals, meaning when you put the ball in play, they're going to make errors. They're going to make mistakes.
Which is wild.
They're not comfortable. Yeah, yeah, which is crazy to hear, but if you watch the Yankees this year, like I have, that's not far from the truth. But very few teams can put that kind of pressure because you have to put pressure on them offensively. Cleveland put pressure on us offensively. Obviously, y'all did as well, and we knew that we could match it offensively. But, you know, great pitching beats great hitting any day. Yeah. And that's what we got in the World Series. While our pitchers were fairly decent, you know, y'all had better pitching and just timely hits. I mean,
I think we had better pitching moments.
Oh, yeah, definitely better pitching moments.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just being able to knock the ball here and there, you know, little, you know, it wasn't a – but, I mean, we'll remember the home runs from Freddie Freeman, but, you know, the little bloop singles, the doubles, that type of stuff. No base running errors wherein, you know, I remember – I can't remember what game it was, but Aaron Judge was on second. There was a single and – I mean, excuse me, a double, and they sent him home. No, it was a single, and they sent him home. And, bro, the center fielder picked the ball. By the time the ball, center fielder picked the ball up, Aaron Judge just – not Aaron, I'm sorry, not Aaron Judge. I'm having a brain fart here. Stanton was – he had just touched third.
Oh, when he hesitated?
Out at home plate.
When he hesitated? Did he hesitate?
Well, he didn't hesitate at all. He's not – I mean, he's 6'6". He's not fast. You know what I'm saying? So – the third base coach sent him home. But what I'm saying is base running errors like that, you can do that in a meaningless game in April. You can't do that in the World Series. And basically that scouting report came to be true that when the Dodgers put the ball in play, the fundamentals, some of the fundamentals for the Yankees and their fielding or lack thereof showed.
Yeah.
And it was a hill too hard to climb, man. Like I said, you go down 3-0, especially against a team like that who really, like you said, statistically, I don't know we're better than the Yankees, but they had timely hitting and dudes stepped up there and they really weren't afraid of the moment. And you could see that. I mean, like every time the Dodgers needed a hit, they got a hit and, you know, we didn't. And so it's going to be a long off season for us. We got some gaps we got to close. We got to try to bring Soto back.
I was going to bring that up because Manny B said he might be coming across the street.
He could be. I mean, it's the rumors are that he said, now he said publicly that he's willing to listen to every team, but the reality is every team can't pay him $600 million.
So I don't think we can afford him.
No, not with the contracts that you have. Yeah. But the thing about it is, the good thing about it is for you guys is from my perspective, I think everybody's coming back. I don't think y'all losing anybody. So,
well, I think we got to re-sign. There is somebody that is Hernandez.
Okay, Kiki Hernandez.
Not Kiki. Our left fielder.
Okay. So even that being said, you're bringing the majority of your team back. Wherein, like I said, we really can't afford to lose Soto because not only is he a talent, but he's also young. You know, Judge and Stanton are getting kind of old, long in the tooth. So is Garrett Cole. But the thing that I'm hearing is that, you know, Soto wants to stay in New York.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to leave New York. So it's going to come down to the Mets and the Yankees. I think ultimately
I got greedy. Big Bang, you know me. You know me as a Laker fan and as a Dodger fan. You know I got greedy.
Big Bang gonna take
a little
bang.
I seen how that boy loves some baseball. He sat there and watched. He took it like a man. He sat there and watched the celebration.
Yeah, I wasn't about to do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, bro. I'm taking a shot.
In fact, when the second out happened, I turned the TV off. I haven't seen a highlight. I don't know what your parade looked like. I did see the violence that, you know, hit your city, which, you know,
like always, when you got that many people outside, it's deemed to. Like, when have we not set a police car or a bus on fire after a championship?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I didn't see any of the highlights, but I saw the game.
Well, Cal, it got to the point where they started harming themselves. Cats is blowing their hands off with half stick of dynamites and stuff like. Yeah, it got bad. I mean. Yeah, it got real bad, but you know how that is. We can't have a positive thing without having a little negative to it. That's what it comes with. Because that team that wins a championship for the first time, guess and see if y'all can go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it happens. But it was still, I will say this, as much as I celebrated, I was scared. Because it's the mystique, though, that comes with it. I wasn't scared of the current, I wasn't scared of the team in general. I was scared of the history that came with it. And I'm like, once we go back to New York, them, when you're talking about showing up, there's certain fan bases that you do not mess with, whether it's a home game or away game, because they're going to show up. Them damn Yankees is one of them. Alabama, them fans, they going to travel. A lot of Southern schools, a lot of Southern football schools, programs, they going to travel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when I didn't think game three was even possible. I had it going 2-1, win game four, y'all win game, and it's going to be a hell of a game six. That's right. What I thought. I thought it was going to go to game six. I'm going to be honest. And I thought we was going to lose game three and win game four. Or at least that's what I wanted, how I wanted it to go. Once I seen that we stole game three, I said, there's no way in hell we're going to sweep them. I don't think nobody in Vegas is going to allow us to sweep them. Because I was like, it makes sense. The biggest turnout was game one. Outside of going back to New York for game three, but what do you think is going to be game one? It's going to be game three, and then it's going to be game six. That's going to draw out the most people. Why? Because that's the first game in LA. That's going to be the first game in New York, and then that's going to be the most important game back in LA again, because they'll play Saturday right after. So I'm nervous. I'm nervous. And then I said this. When game two, and I'm like, I'm looking at Judge, and I'm like, yo, no woman had this. No woman gave birth to a man like that. So I was like, if he connects, is that thing is coming over here? Like, dog, they don't even make human. But then I really thought about it. I was like, well, Bron is technically, they about the same size.
Yeah, about the same size as LeBron.
Yeah, but I'm like, these cats
playing baseball.
You don't make humans like that. But it I saw for the first time in this series, I saw him be human. Because when they started talking about like his batting percentage, and like the way they made him seem like the dumb jock at one point, and I'm like, nah, this ain't the cat that's supposed to be like the boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? And I've never seen him get struck out like that. Never.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but Juan Soto, we respect. You want to talk about the respect we have for him. Every chance we got, we said, no, we just send him to first. Just send him to first base, bro. Because if you play with him, like, he got it. He just reminds me of, like, a... If I had to put this in wrestling terms, he's like Shawn Michaels to me. Like, he's just, he's solid. He's solid. That's the one that I was worried about. And then, who's Chisholm? Jazz is his name?
Yeah, Jazz. Yep.
Let me tell you, if y'all cannot lose a player like that.
No.
You want to talk about, he can hit. He's stealing bases like crazy. I got so irritated with him, especially I think he hit the back-to-back home run in game four.
Yep, yep, back-to-back, yep.
That dude, like, it's my level of respect for baseball goes up every year now that I'm getting older, and I'm like, I get it now. I understand it now. I didn't understand it when I was young. Game was too slow for me. But... It's not about the pace of the game. It's about the intensity and knowing how important every pitch and whoever's up to bat. Like, the matchups was crazy, man. I'm not gonna say that I'm surprised, because we was the best team in the league record wise.
Oh, no doubt.
But it's like, the way they won is you don't normally win that way. Unless you was just that dominant. Like, I remember the Bulls being that dominant in the late 90s. And I'm like, yeah, I expect y'all to win every year. Every year Chicago made it to the finals, I expected them to be, whether it was Utah, Phoenix, I was not on no West Coast bias shit because them cats over there in Chicago was not playing. But I didn't feel or see that type of hype with my Dodgers. I just know we had a hell of a payroll with hell of a players that we was paying. So I expected to get to the postseason. And then, you know, the chips laid down how they did. We got to the World Series, but then it's up against the Yankees, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is a Sunshine State versus the Evil Empire. Like, that's a lot of pressure, 12 Cal, a lot. And we're going to have to revisit this. Maybe it's going to have to be on your platform, but we're going to have to start showing baseball a little bit more respect when it comes to that.
No doubt.
When it comes to that championship series.
I think what's interesting is, like, you know, especially the way the teams are constructed, you know, you can make a case. It's early right now. A lot of things have to happen, but you can make a case that we could get these two teams in the World Series again next year. I personally wouldn't mind that. I think that would be dope. A lot would have to happen. And baseball is a long season.
It's a long season, but that would be the most. You talking about the most anticipated series? That right there will shut it down. And let y'all have home field advantage this time. Oh my God, Hollywood can't write it like I write it. Oh my God, and Kiki got to be there. He got to be there.
We gotta have more from Judge. Judge had a great year, and people have been very hesitant to criticize him. But you can't play the way that he played most of the playoffs. You know, I made the comparison, and I think it's true. It's like, imagine LeBron averaging 35 the whole season, and he gets to the finals and averages 11.
Yeah, that we're not having that. No, sirree.
There's no way we let him skate like that. And so it's you know, can you have a bad series? Yeah, but he fell into a funk. But I mean, as he goes, the team goes.
It's a part of his statue that he gonna build. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that the Yankees can't pull off a back-to-back year? Like, hopefully it doesn't start next year, because I will give us room.
It's got to start somewhere.
give us room to be great. But, you know, after that, if they run off one or two or something like that, is he going to have the world back into his hands again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As one of the best of all time. All right, I mean, well, 12 Cal, now that baseball is over, that's one less sport that we have to talk about and worry about. Champagne is still in the field over there in New York and both LA. I'm just letting you know. Mm-hmm. But now that we have moved on from MLB,
mm-hmm.
we got the early stages of the NBA, and then we have the meat, almost the meat and potatoes of the season of the NFL. So before I get to the NBA, NFL wise, what have you seen? What have you liked? And do you got anybody locked in for your Super Bowl matchup and winner?
I don't have anybody locked in because the NFL truly is a week-to-week basis. At the time of this recording, I'm currently watching Detroit versus Green Bay. And Detroit has steamrolled damn near everybody they've played, which is very impressive. Because, right now they're playing in the cold and it's raining in Green Bay. They're indoor team, but I mean, right now they probably got the inside track to home field advantage so far. But I mean, like you said, we're hitting about the midway point of the season. It's going to be interesting to see, man. Jordan is out there in Kansas City. They got Michael Jordan in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So they're undefeated at the time of this recording. I know they play tomorrow night, a Monday night football against the Bucks. They're undefeated. They don't look like a team that should be undefeated, because you can make a case that there's a couple of games that they could have lost or should have lost. But they got Pat Mahomes, and he's Michael Jordan. So even Kelce looks two or three steps slower than he, you know, since he went to that undercover cop look.
Yeah, since he started dating somebody.
it's just different. But I can't count them out. There's always going to be the thing you have to look for in the NFL is the teams that start playing well and start getting stacking up wins in December, rolling into January. The hot teams, those are usually the teams that come into it. They may be a wild card, and it never fails. They almost always upset a team in the first round. So, it's really hard to say. It's too early to call so far, but it's an up and down season. So far, I've been impressed, like I said, with Detroit.
Detroit solid. They playing right now, and I got to say that a team that my team actually beat is more impressive right now, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, Baltimore's tough. They that they're going to see Kansas City at some point.
That's what I'm saying.
They lost to Kansas City first game of the season. So, you know, there's the Can Lamar get past Patrick?
But hey, we can't forget about that other boy over there though.
Who's that?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, you know what?
He's doing it. Big three though. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Lamar and Kermit.
And Mahomes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man, because they don't really have as much talent as they've had in years past, but he finds ways to win, and he finds ways to get it done. So
yeah.
I'm going to be interested to see how those, like you said, that big three, two of the big three going to have to square off before they get to the big joker. So,
that's a fact.
I think it's going to be, you know, Lamar and Buffalo going against each other to see what happens to go to KC. That's the way it looks like it's going to play out. But, I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played. Like I said, football is truly a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it is. Any given Sunday.
You know, so any given Sunday, any given Monday, any given
Thursday
night, it can happen. Yeah. So, but I'm glad, man. It's football is here. Like you said, baseball just wrapped up. NBA just tipped off. So we're in the sweet spot of the sports calendar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna just have a bold one right here. Forget it. I mean, I ain't been on nobody else's sports show to do so. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say this is the year that Baltimore Ravens get to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, Baltimore Ravens get to the Super Bowl, and Kansas City will either lose to Baltimore or lose to Buffalo.
Mm.
I'm giving them 0-2 versus out of those two teams.
Okay.
I'm with it. And I think Lamar might get another MVP. If Derrick Henry stays healthy,
yeah,
we gotta look at the numbers though, because they might go ahead and give it to Kermit because he's quote unquote doing more with less. So
yeah, I think Lamar has a legit shot at another MVP. But you know, he's at that stage now, kind of like where Joker is in the NBA. Where the writers are going to do whatever they can to, you know, distance themselves from even giving it to him.
Because you got Jamal Murray and Lamar has Derrick mm-hmm. Henry. You know what I mean? So it's like mm-hmm. they could use that. As far as Mahomes, he literally, and I have to give him his credit, he literally has no names over there. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you gotta tip your hat to him. I don't have to because I'm a Raider fan, but, you know, everybody else can. So how we feeling about thus far? Of course, this is all LA. So we're gonna talk a little bit about my Lakers. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your thoughts on how we started out. Now remember, I'm documented as saying that I'm by far okay with them hiring JJ. I'm okay mm-hmm. with it, right? And we're starting to see a little bit of changes. If you haven't watched any of the Lakers game, I'll be, you know, I'm gonna give you a little insight on how we've been operating. But as far as them Hawks, though,
mm-hmm.
how we looking early on with the Hawks?
Early on, still feeling stuff out. I think we're 3-3. I think at the time of this recording, we're either 3-3 or 2-2. We're a team that's gonna hover right around .500 for most of the year. I think it's. I'm one of the few Hawks fans who have gone on record, and I consistently say, I just don't think that you can win with a 6-foot point guard that shoots logo threes like Trey DeBarge. It just can't happen. And I like Trey, but to build a franchise around a guy like that, you just can't. And then he doesn't play defense either. So, you know, but we got some wings. We got some real athletic wings. But, you know, it's on a night-to-night basis. The Hawks are truly a team that could beat Boston one night and then, like, lose the next night to the Wizards. Like, you literally, and it's frustrating because you see the potential, but it's like in a seven-game series, that's just not – it's not going to cut it. It's just not going to cut it. So, I'm not one of these people who have, like, great expectations. I love watching basketball, so while the Hawks are my team, you know, if a basketball game is on and it's good, I'm going to tune in even if my team's not playing. Wherein, like, baseball, if the Yankees aren't playing, I'm not watching baseball. I'm just not.
That's the same with me. Like, I don't, unless I'm going in person or something like that. I have, though, back in the day. I used to watch the heated rivalry games between the Yankees and Boston during the regular season when they just made it, you know, they made it a big deal. So I tune in just for that. But outside of that, it's just strictly Dodgers. I'm not watching nobody else. Now, football, I watch any game. It could be I watch anybody. The Redskins and the Browns in the snow. You know what I mean?
Right.
Basketball, even though I have access to all the teams, some games it seem much more like watching Orlando versus Utah. It's difficult, but you know, if I got that, it's just to watch some legit hooping as a hooper, then it's just like the NFL. I could just about watch anybody. But at one point, like Atlanta, y'all had a couple of teams, even with Trey. You know what I'm saying? What does Trey need? Like, what's gonna help him get to the point where he needs either somebody more superior, or he needs somebody just as good as him?
I think it's the scheme and in which, like, you just — I don't know that you can win like that because, one, he's a volume shooter, and he's a small guy, and like I said, he doesn't play defense, so he's already a liability. So when he's letting his man blow by him, I mean, on defense, man, you got to move them puppies, man.
You got to.
His man blows by him, so now the center, like Clint Capella, got to step up. He's in foul trouble, and he, you know, next thing you know, you're getting a lob or whatever like that. I think defensively, they make pretty good adjustments. Just on the offensive end, the ball tends to not flow around, and I don't think he does a good job of getting his teammates involved. Now, he does – he's, you know, has traditionally been pretty high as far as assists are concerned in the league. But I don't know that necessarily that he makes his teammates better. He can have a great game, and his teammates may not have great games. Individually, I think he's at that point where hopefully – and, you know, you watch basketball long enough. I think he's at the point where hopefully where the points and the all-star games and all of that stuff don't matter. It's like, okay, I want to win. Because you only have relatively speaking, you only have a small window, because what's going to happen is – ownership and management have to look at it like, you know what, this ain't working. You know, and if you look around at the All-Star break and, you know, and they're a play-in type team, you know, there's going to be rumblings like, hey, man, let's just blow this thing up. Let's blow this thing up.
Now, by blow it up, do you mean trade? Are you trading?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you have to look at it from a business perspective, because now he is box office. When the Hawks have a game, I mean, it used to be a situation where, like, you would only get a sellout if Kobe and Shaq were coming, or, you know, LeBron was coming, or Jordan was coming. But no, they sell out the games and people come to see the Hawks versus the Magic, you know. But the flip side of it is that outside of that, I mean, fans want to see a winner. You know, everybody wants a winner, and you need to at least look like you're making positive steps in the right direction. You know, I can point to a team like the Cavs, who at the time of this recording, I think are like 6-0. I think they're undefeated. You know, they've got a superstar in Spider Mitchell, and they've got — well, I shouldn't call him a superstar. They've got a budding star in Spider Mitchell, and they've got a good nucleus of cats around him. You know, the nucleus around Trey, I think, is good, but I don't know if it's good enough to win consistently. If you look at the teams in the East, you know, are they better than the Knicks? No. Are they better than Milwaukee? No. Are they better than Boston? Hell no. So being, you know, you keep going
being,
down.
Being better than Milwaukee is not a thing anymore.
Well, it used to be. Yeah. Milwaukee looks bad. In fact, I think
that's the coldest drop off, and they haven't fully fell off because they still in the hunt. But as far as them being the team to be like, that's who we got to worry about in the East. Hey, nah, they don't get that.
Hey, listen, man. Unpopular opinion. At some point in time, we got to look at the goodness or the lack thereof of Doc Rivers.
Oh yeah,
Doc Rivers has ridden those Boston championship with KG and those boys for a long time, but Doc has looked terrible.
Yeah. It might be over. He got to have photos on somebody.
Got to,
because he's getting opportunities.
Yeah, and what's he done? I mean, Adrian Griffin, the previous head coach, was way better than Doc was at this point, and Doc has not. You know, he's got talent, and he had talent when he was out there in L.A. with the Clippers. So
that whole L.A. thing, it just felt like they just trying to keep up with us. Right. And we're not even talking about record-wise. We're talking about they tried to – remember, they've gone through two different identities within the past decade. Remember, they were Lob City.
Yep.
And then they turned into like this – these tough guys, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had blacked out advertisement posters all around the city, and they was trying to rep the whole L.A. was pushing the whole L.A. card hard, and we was like, are you serious? They tried to build an identity, and to their credit, though, they got some players that we wanted. Every player that they got, we wanted. Make no mistake about that. We wanted Paul George. We wanted Kawhi Leonard. We wanted all of them. You know what I'm saying? I was scared about the whole Chris Paul thing because not his age, because let's be honest, he could still hoop.
No question.
I don't think he should be relied on, but I think he could still be a floor general of a championship team. He might be a liability on defense or whatever case may be, but I know he'll be able to control the offense.
Right.
But I did not want that goddamn contract.
Nobody does.
No, I didn't want that. But no, I think ever since then that's what happened with the whole Clippers thing. Then he moves on, and I have no idea why the Bucks did that. I had no idea why they went out like that. Like, what has he shown you since?
Right.
You know, and then he has examples of just it's not working out. He can't get over that hump. And they went ahead and just made the big splash. And what makes it even worse is that, dog, nobody's even talking about Dame Lillard.
No.
Like, he's not even getting it's like, what is going, what happened? Like, what's going on? You're right. We're going to have to start talking about the Doc Rivers one. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. But, have you watched any Laker games?
I've seen clips. I haven't sat and watched an entire game just because, like, it's just been, you know, it's been baseball pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. No, they've been, you can see the difference. You can see the difference in a rotation. You can see the difference in the offense a lot. You know, it's just a matter of cats believing in the whole new system and executing. You know what I mean? So it's looking good. I put to you like this. I'm more impressed with the coaching than I am about how they actually playing.
Yeah, I wasn't sold on JJ initially. I didn't like the hire. I didn't like the way it looked. I didn't like the move. But so far, just, you know, a couple of games into the season, man, it seems to have worked. And guys, you know, have bought in. The reports that I've read and stuff, like, people have said, like, they really – like, he really gets it, and he's really in this for the long haul, and winning matters to him, and he's trying to build a culture there. I'm not really sure about how they are handling the whole Bronny thing, because I don't think realistically Bronny should be on the court. And I know that there's talk that he'll go to the G League, which I think would be good for his development. Because you can't have him out there taking minutes from somebody else. I mean, he's already in a roster spot. He did what he had to do as far as, like, they had the moment of having the two of them on the court, whatever. I don't know how this is going to play out for the entire season. But The Lakers, man, from what I've seen, like I said, I've seen clips. They look solid, man. They look solid. Can they be a top four seed? It really depends on what happens with Anthony Davis. I mean, it's a broken record. It's really going to depend on Anthony Davis and how well he plays and how healthy he stays. I mean, listen, we saw LeBron this summer be the difference in the Olympic team. He was the difference. I've never seen LeBron. I mean, like, there were times this summer in the Olympics, and I saw all the games, where I had to remind myself, like, yo, this dude about to turn 40. Yeah. Like, he wasn't playing like that. And he can play like that when he doesn't have to do as much. So he was able to facilitate. You saw the explosion. You saw the fresh legs. And he didn't have to have the grind of a 82-game season.
Right.
You know, there's going to be some nights, man, LeBron can give you 32, 35 a night, you know. And there's going to be some nights where he's only going to be able to give you 17. But it'll be 17, 10 assists, 11 rebounds.
And that's what I prefer. That's what I prefer.
Yeah, and really, that's really the basis for success. If LeBron is your leading scorer, then it's probably not going to work out for you. Unless AD has, you know, a similar game. You know, but with the Lakers, the thing that I think that where they lost their identity was from the bubble year was on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And I know the bubble was several years ago, but they made a point to hone in on the defense, but they had defensive players. They had cats like Caruso. They had cats like KCP who were just, you know, their job was to come in and get open buckets when LeBron threw it to them in the corner, but they were also guys who play defense. So if they can get to that defensively, maybe not even that level, but if they play well defensively, I think they got a legit shot at being in the mix in the West.
Okay.
I'm not sold on Phoenix because I don't think they have a bench. I still, maybe call me crazy, I still like Denver because I love Joker. I love watching him play as crazy as that sounds. But, you know, it's the West, I think, is – the West is a gauntlet, man. It's a gauntlet. It's really going to come down to – you're going to see Baylor come after the All-Star break. A lot of teams positioning for that seeding. You know,
OKC up there. OKC up there for me.
Yeah,
then.
Oh, man, listen. OKC, everybody's predicting them to win the West. I can't – I think last year they probably got the experience that they needed. I would not be surprised if they got as far as the Western Conference Finals and didn't make it, because I think sometimes you still got to fail a little bit. But mm-hmm. if they haven't failed enough yet, but I mean, they're loaded, though. They are loaded from top to bottom. That's a good young team to watch, man.
And whether this team has a winning record or not, we always have a problem with the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sabonis owns AD, and nobody seems to how to stop Fox. And I don't know why we gave up our guy, but he went over there, Malik Monk, and then you got DeMar over there now. So it's like, God damn. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you this. Moving out of west to the east real quick, what do you make of – I know you heard the comments that Embiid made, you know, talking about the fact that he's not going to play on back-to-backs. What is your take on Embiid, man? Because my group chats have been, you know, pretty – we've been pretty – tough one, Embiid. Mm-hmm. I don't like you coming out and saying, hey, I'm not going to play in back-to-backs.
Okay.
I get why you say it health-wise, but I don't like that.
So I'm actually in his favor. And the only reason is because, well, two things. Two, I like his honesty. So we don't have to, because if the team puts it out or a sports writer that's close to the team puts it out, then they have to structure it in a way to make it seem like it's something to where he has to. I don't want our players to lie to us anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want no PR statements. I want the human side. And the truth is, we've never seen a human like Embiid play like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So the injuries that he's battling, we got to remember, after he retire, it's a possibility he won't be able to walk a certain way. When you get older, you know what I'm saying? And things like that. It seems that, like, these leg injuries with these ball players, and I'm going to include Kawhi Leonard as well,
Oh, man.
They got some injuries that's going to linger on for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And Kawhi is one thing. That's a separate thing. But when we talk about Joel Embiid, he's getting praised because whether he's in his peak or whenever he was playing the best between college and the pros, he was a very dominant player, extremely dominant. Talented, he could shoot the ball, he could dribble. At that size, he's a force in the paint. Yet and still, like, we expect him to be able to, like, play through injuries that we couldn't imagine having at that size.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I get it. You know, if he's coming out and telling you, like, hey, if I play these back-to-backs, I'm not going to be useful.
Right.
I'm not able to play back-to-back. I physically am not able to play back-to-back games. The history of the NBA shows you not too many cats built like him or near him is going to last too long, and they weren't mm-hmm. even close to being dominant as he was. So it's like, thanks. If he's telling you, hey, I cannot do this physically, it's best for me to play every other game, then let me do that. Or else, I'm going to have to go to another team that's going to allow that, or I might have to seriously think about playing basketball. Because these injuries is going to kick their ass once they retire.
Right.
And a lot of these players, especially more football players, because there has been by far more football players to retire in the middle of their career than any other sport. Like, hey, I can't do this no more. You know what I'm saying? It's too much on my body, like the wear and tear on my body. And I want all my common sense upstairs when I'm older.
Right. Facts.
So it's like these players, we criticize them, and I'm one of them. I've criticized players because that's what we do as fans. At the same time, when I start looking towards like life, a lot of these athletes in today's game is talking about their future after the sport because mm-hmm. they're seeing their former. There are the older players that just left the game. They snatching up all the media jobs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? So and 12 count though as football is a physical sport all the way around. Embiid probably has the most physical position in basketball. So he's one of the most dominant bigs we've ever seen. Yet we expect him to, you know, play through some pain that we don't have any experience with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on it. Like if it's not going to, I mean, that's why they brought over the talent that they brought. It's like, hey, if we know it's a possibility that an injury is going to happen somewhere along the line of the season, or while we're in the playoffs with our big guy, we need some reinforcement. So you bring over the dazzling corrupt of the West Coast basketball. You know what I mean? And hopefully they can hold you down if your big man goes down. That's why you're going to start to see more. It's going to be three names attached to it. It's going to be three superstars or three. Mm-hmm. We're going to start seeing a lot more of that because it's reinsurance. Everybody knows, like 12 Cal said, it's like a broken record. Our season goes as far as AD. As soon as we see AD go down and lay on that floor for more than 5 minutes, we know our season is out of there. Why? Because now Bron went from 39 to 49. And we don't have no third option. I remember when we tried to make Schroeder our third option on a back-to-back journey. And everybody was injured. And he was the only one left. And he went donut in an elimination game.
Right.
So, hey, this is a game that he's been wanting to play all his life. He is built. There's not another human being built like him in this world. And he's telling y'all, look, in order for me to make Philly competitive late in the season and in the playoffs, I won't be able to put that much wear and tear on my body in a season.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to give him that. And he telling y'all the truth. Ain't nobody lying about it. That's where I'm at
with it. Thanks. We're going to see, man. We're going to see.
Yeah. So, all right. Do you got an NBA champion this year?
Yeah, man. I think Boston's going to run it back. And that hurts me to say because I don't like Boston. I don't like anything out of Boston. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Celtics. Only dope things that ever come out of Boston are the baked beans and New Edition.
Yeah.
That being said, I think, you know, barring an injury.
And the movie Town. We got a Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie. That was a good movie. Yeah, yeah, but I right now, I got to say Boston. But you also get with a long season, it's an 82-game season, you get a complacency, you get the dip in the season where they're just trying to make it to the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, you know, then they kind of teams kind of shape up and start looking at, you know, trying to figure it out. And then you have some teams, you know, getting ready for Cancun too. So, you know, but I'm looking forward to the in-season tournament soon. Basketball is back, man. It's back. Like I said, it'll get more of my attention this week because I don't have a Yankees game to watch. But you know, then you can't be mad at this time of the year because, like I said, you got basketball, you got football, and everything. So
college playoffs. I'm looking forward to college football playoffs.
College football. College football's coming down the final stretch, man. So it's really gonna be hot and heavy, man. You know, so we're looking at a lot of stuff going forward. So yeah, like I said, it's a great time in the sports calendar, man. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, I ain't about to say no goddamn Boston. Lakers in five. Goddamn it. We going back to back like we did in 2020 and in 88. Goddamn it. You heard it here first.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, 12 Cal, let them know. Hey, first of all, you got to let us know about episode 600. I played a little bit in the beginning of the show or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let them know where they can find you at. Let them know about the new, you know, side show on, you know what I'm saying? And then let them know about episode 600.
Oh, definitely. The 12 Kyle podcast drops every Thursday, every Sunday at midnight. There's a new episode for the 12 Kyle podcast each week. You can find a podcast wherever you get podcasts. We also are on YouTube as well. As you mentioned, I have a new podcast venture called the Rap Soul Podcast. And on the Rap Soul podcast, what we do is we talk about music, artists, culture, themes from the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. It was a great era. We just talk about that intersection of time. And like you said, for the 12 Kyle podcast, I just recently recorded and dropped my 600th episode. That episode was released earlier today at the time of this recording. And yeah, man, I made it to 600. So it's an accomplishment. Not something I set out to do because most podcasts don't last past 10 episodes. So it's been a blessing, but I'm thankful for the people to tap in. You've been on there, obviously. I got one that I'm holding on the 12 Kyle podcast, and I want to edit it but I may just release it as is. But I'm gonna tell you this first, and I think I told you about it, but where I get my top five rappers from LA.
Yeah.
Top five raps from LA. And because I go way back with my West Coast hip hop. So, and I didn't differentiate between Compton and, you know, Watts or anything like that. It was just LA.
Yeah.
Right. So even that was tough because it's a lot of MCs coming out of that city, man. A lot of rappers coming out of that city. And dope ones, too. And I grew up on some of the best. So, I may put that on the Rap Soul podcast, but, yeah, it's both podcasts have been a lot of fun, man, and I just enjoy giving the content, man. It's gonna keep coming, but the Rap Soul podcast drops everywhere you can get it, but it drops on every Monday at midnight.
Yeah, I need to get on that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, I'm definitely gonna have you on there.
I need to get on that one, man. You got to cook something up. I'm ready for that one.
I have more than enough content. I have more ideas than I have time. So we'll definitely talk either some rap or we'll talk some R&B because you got an R&B bag that's pretty solid. So I don't know how solid your 80s, 90s R&B bag is.
Don't play with me. But don't play with me. You don't want to do that. Okay? You see it our way.
You know.
We got some hitters over here.
You put me on some of the up-to-date stuff, but you know, the 80s, you know, the
80s is what got me here. I can't get here. Can't get here without the 80s.
Right. So yeah, we'll definitely like I said, I got more ideas than I got time. So we'll definitely get you on the rap. So that's for sure. That's for certain. Ain't no doubt about that. Trust me. I made when I created that podcast, I made a list of people who I was going to have on the podcast, and you obviously was one of them on the list. So that goes without saying.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a discussion, cuz when I tell you my R&B bag is deep. As the fat kids bag on Halloween night.
There you go.
All right. I ain't playing. And Jay Book, Britt, I love them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They like Angel Reese and Kaylin Clark. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm Miss Wilson.
Jay Book gonna kill you for that.
I know she is. Shout out, hey, 12 Cal, you own this episode.
For sure. Appreciate it, man.
Surprise.
Very good impromptu episode.
Yo, surprise guest, only because Manny didn't show up, just like his Mets.
Hey, man. That's what he do, man. And his Jets don't show up either, but we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, J-E-T-S. Yeah.
I tell Manny, because Manny's in one of the group chats we're in, man, and I'm like, Manny, you're a Jets fan and you're a Mets fan. I mean, like,
That's a strong man.
You gotta want. At least he's a Lakers fan, so it's all is not.
Yeah,
long, but
that's the balance.
You know, but you gotta want for better things in life, man. I even offered him to let him come to the Yankees, but he don't want to do it.
Hey,
I offered to let him come to the Giants, but he don't want to do it. So
to my people out there, if y'all see Manny in the streets, give him a hug. I promise you,
give him a hug.
It's gonna mean a lot. Because that's a strong man.
His weekends in the fall are tough.
Oh my God, you want to talk?
T-U-F-F, tough.
Yeah. Shout out though, man. Shout out to both.
That's the homie.
Yeah, shout out
for sure.
12 Cal, man. You the way you own this episode, bro. Can you please do me this favor and just you gotta escort this out. It's on you.
All right, man. Well, you guys have been listening. This has been another episode of Open Run with BTG. As was stated at the top, I owe him, so it's going to be Roscoe's. As soon as I hit L.A., we're going to pick a day. We're going to hit Roscoe's. I'm a man of my words. I'm going to own up to the bet. We're going to both get that number 9, and we're going to have a good time. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Be sure to come back next week, because we're going to be here. Holla.
Yeah, 5,000.
5,000. 5 G's.